In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Welcome to St. Benedict's, and if you're visiting us today, we're so happy that you're here. We hope you feel at home in this church. There was a big sign in front of a Baptist church, and it read something like this. Many want the Christ of the cross without the cross of Christ. I'm going to say it again. Many want the Christ of the cross without the cross of Christ. As we begin Holy Week, especially on this Passion or Palm Sunday, we're presented with the cross, with the passion of the Lord. And it's difficult to read the passion sometimes because it's difficult to see someone we love suffer. And we are here because we are Christians. We are here because we want to follow Jesus. And in that process of following Jesus, there is a reality we rather not think too much about, and it's his suffering on the cross, his passion. But today, we're looking at the cross, we're looking at the passion, and we're looking at what it means for our lives. Think about it. Every year we do this, and we read it, and every time we hear it, or we watch a movie about it, we see how there are so many different perspectives, right? You heard all the different voices, right? Those who were in the religious establishment condemning Jesus for the things he said, the political leaders trying to follow the law and trying to appease the people and trying to do the best they could to respond to the pressure they were receiving. You've got the people who had no reason to really know who Jesus was, looking at what was happening. Those who mocked him and those who tried to defend him. There's people with all different perspectives, but they're all looking at the same Jesus. They're all looking at the same passion. They're all experiencing the same thing. And I'm here to tell you that in 2016, there are 7.5 billion people in this world. 7.5 billion. And I bet you, if you were able to speak to all 7.5 billion people, they would have a totally different perspective on who Jesus is and who God is and what is it that we're looking at this week. But you know what? None of us here have to answer that question. None of us have to answer for how others see or experience God. The only question you and I have to answer is, who is Jesus in my life? Who is Jesus to me? What does all of this that God did on the cross, what does all of this passion and death and resurrection, what does all this mean to me as a follower of Christ today? You and I just have to answer that one question. Who is Jesus in my life? As we hear the passion, we hear the words of Jesus. We hear the God of compassion. We hear the God of forgiveness. We hear the God of unconditional love. We hear the words, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Now put yourself in that situation. You're being beat up and spat upon. You're being flogged and mistreated. And the response is, Father, forgive them. That's the kind of love that God has for all of humanity. That's the kind of love that God has for us. But you know, we live in this world. We live in this reality. And living in this reality, we don't experience that kind of compassion or mercy too often, do we? And we see that the injustice that we hear about in today's passion, even though that occurred 2,000 years ago and it seems far removed from us, that injustice is still real. That bigotry and hatred and prejudice and conflict is still real. As followers of Jesus, the challenge is to bring the message of God's love to this reality. You and I are challenged to bring that message of God's love to this reality. And how do we do it? That's the big question. There are many things in today's lessons from Scripture. But there is something that is not here that is directly related to what we celebrate. And it's the one condition Jesus gives to all of us if we want to be his followers. And you will remember these words. If anyone desires to follow me, let him deny himself, take up his cross each day, and follow me. The cross is real. The cross is part of discipleship. You and I are called to carry the cross. For some people, the cross is a physical illness or a disease or a condition that they struggle with. Sometimes for a little while, sometimes for years. For other people, the cross will be a difficulty in the family, a problem with a relationship, a struggle with children or among children and parents, or in the relationship of marriage or in the relationship with a loved one. For others, the cross will be an economic situation, a job situation, where things just don't seem quite right, and a person feels frustrated or alone or unable to make ends meet. For others, the cross will be some kind of inner emotional problem, some kind of hurt, sometimes even issues with addiction, issues with things that are way beyond what we can control ourselves. The cross has so many forms, and it's manifested in so many ways. One thing is for sure. All of us are called by Jesus to carry our cross each day and follow him. So even though the message of the cross is not something that brings us a whole lot of peace or tranquility, it's not something that makes us feel warm, fuzzy inside. The truth is, we will all carry the cross. If our motivation is to be disciples of Christ, the carrying of that cross, no matter how heavy it may be, becomes lighter. Because when we do it motivated by the love of God in order to follow Jesus, then the carrying of the cross takes on a different meaning. So today I ask you to take a moment to really respond or answer that question. Who is Jesus in my life? How am I being called to take up my cross and follow him? If I want to be his disciple, and I believe all of us want to be his disciples. That's why we're here. If we want to be his disciples, we must carry the cross and embrace it. And know that we don't carry the cross for the sake of the cross. We carry the cross because we believe the cross leads to resurrection. The cross leads to life. The cross is not an end in itself. Don't be confused by that. God did not create you to suffer. The cross is what leads us to eternal glory. And all of those questions we see in today's Passion, all those people from different perspectives jumping in and saying different things, all of them represent our humanity. Come on, it happens to us. When you go through a crisis or a problem, almost immediately, why me, Lord? Why now, Lord? It seemed like this is the worst time this can happen, Lord. We even have the phrase we say, when it rains, it pours, right? Why me, Lord? We all question why the cross. And I'm going to tell you something. While we're here on earth, you're probably never going to get your answer. Wait till you get to heaven and you're face to face before God for all eternity. And remember, eternity's a long time. And you can ask God all those questions as to why. But I can tell you, it's really not about the why. It's about the fact that we love God and we try to love God the way that God has loved us, unconditionally. We give our hearts to God. We give our lives to God. We give our lives to Jesus as his disciples and we say, yes, Lord, I will take up my cross each day and follow you. That's the response of faith. As difficult as it may be, you're not on your own. You don't have to do it yourself. With God's grace, we carry the cross each day. You know, today is Contradiction Sunday. I like to call it Contradiction Sunday. Because we started out there with the palms, right? And waving the palms, right? And we all said, Hosanna to the King of Kings! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, right? And we're all celebrating the triumphant entry of Jesus in Jerusalem. Wow! And shortly after that, we're all saying, crucify him! It's the same crowd, you know. It's the same crowd. There's something in our humanity that makes it difficult for us to really turn our hearts and minds to God and to give our lives to God in a complete way. We struggle with our spirituality. We struggle with daily prayer. We struggle trying to be better followers of God's way. No doubt about that. But remember something. God is in the struggle. God is in the struggle. So get up every time you fall and lift up your cross once again and follow him. That's what Jesus calls us to. There's two ways to live the Holy Week as Christians. Two ways. The first way, unfortunately, is what most of our brothers and sisters who have been baptized choose. To be indifferent about what's going on in church. To be indifferent about these holy days. Last year, just so you know, in Southeast Florida, our area, 26% of those who call themselves Christians came to church on Easter Sunday. 26%. The great majority of Christians had something else to do. I say this to you because we have a challenge. We have a challenge this Holy Week to not be the indifferent crowd. And I'm glad you're here because that means you're not. We have a choice. We either make this Holy Week holy, or we act as if it's just another time of the year. Spring break, call it what you want. No, this is Holy Week. What makes it Holy Week? Holy Week is where you set it apart and make it special. I had a family at the 8 o'clock service, the Right One service, and he is Episcopalian, his wife is Roman Catholic, and they're on their way to Guatemala. And Guatemala, as you know, is where my wife is from. And they're going to go just to see the processions on the street, the beautiful processions. Thousands of people go. They decorate streets with beautiful rose resin and different kinds of decorations, and everything speaks of Holy Week. You go to many of the countries where there's a strong, strong faith tradition, and on the street, you can't miss Holy Week. It's everywhere. Well, guess what? That's not going to happen here. No one's going to stop you on University Drive or on the turnpike and say, it's Holy Week, you're going to stop what you're doing. People are just going to go about their business. What makes Holy Week holy for us is that we deliberately pause and say, wait a minute. This is a special week. I got something to do. If your favorite show is on Thursday night, on Monday, Thursday, or you got to watch the sports thing, whatever, use your DVR for heaven's sake. Record it. Skip it 1 week. And make the Holy Week holy. On Good Friday, there'll be 1,000 things to do. Many of you have to work, I know that. We have services all day on Good Friday. On Holy Saturday, we have the beautiful Easter Vigil. And we have the night watch, actually. We start Thursday night at 9 p.m. all the way to Friday, inviting you to spend an hour with the Lord. You can sign up for it there in the narthex, and you can spend an hour with the Lord from 9 p.m. on Monday, Thursday, to 12 noon on Good Friday. Choose an hour. Bring your kids. Spend some time in prayer. Make the Holy Week truly holy. Make it different. So that when we come back here on Easter Sunday, and we celebrate with joy, and after the service the kids go out for the Easter egg hunt and play around, that we're able to really say as a community of faith, we have set apart this special time for God. We have really put our hearts and minds into the celebration of Holy Week. This is truly a special time. You must answer the question, who is Jesus in my life? What does all of this mean to me? In the name of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.